Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. We seem to be at a critical juncture in both the narrative war and in the evolution of our species here on this planet. A changing of the guard, as they say, as the old systems, whether that is money or technology or medicine, to name just a few, are crumbling under the weight of both bureaucratic bloat and just plain old graft and corruption. You can see it in real time, each one of us is witness. Futurists are lined up seeing either the new golden age or a technocratic nightmare, depending on which inputs you put in your brain. The decentralized revolution with Bitcoin at the center are creeping towards center stage and mainstream awareness. It is, in many ways, inevitable. And along with the decentralized revolution and a people-first systems, there sits AI, or large language models, as they're properly called. ChatGPT, Grok, Claude, and even the Chinese Communist Party's DeepSeek, to name just a few. At first glance, it looks like robots are going to take over the world. This, too, seems a bit inevitable, doesn't it? But if technology has taught us anything, it is that although there are dangers in emerging technology, there are also incredible gifts for humans. What are those gifts? Sometimes it can be hard to tell, as first uses for the early adopters sometimes gives way to radical new ways of seeing and doing things as the global village adopts and innovates with the new technology. I must admit, I was resistant to all this AI LLM stuff at first, but as someone who creates lots of content on a regular basis, I can see how much packaging and marketing this content will be streamlined with proper use of an LLM. I just need to learn how to do it. And I was fortunate enough to meet my guest today who teaches a class for newbies on how to get started using any of a number of these LLMs for better productivity and a bunch of other things. The future is now, Base Campers, and I don't know about you, but I would rather start early and understand the changes that are happening than sit on the sidelines imagining the worst. I hope you enjoy the episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Pamela Leslie. Pamela is a wife, mother of five, and dedicated advocate for personal, relational, and societal self-governance. As executive director of the Center for Self-Governance and a holistic health coach, she blends practical leadership with a passion for wellness and civic empowerment. Pamela loves sunshine, mountains, beaches, and Bitcoin. Here is my interview with Pamela Leslie. All right. I am here with Pamela Leslie, CEO of the Center for Self-Governance and teacher, writer, Pamela Leslie. Pamela, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me on today.
You bet. You know, we met at an event not too long ago, and I'd heard a lot about the Center for Self-Governance. We're going to talk a bit about that today, although I'm going to be getting ready to click on some courses and have Mark on to do a deeper dive. But we'll talk a bit about that. But the reason I have you on is that I recently did a course with you on AI, and it was such a great course. You did such a great job of teaching it. There was a ton of ahas, and I immediately thought of having you on and sharing it, some of the insights with listeners, because there's a lot of misconceptions around AI, I believe, and we'll get into all that. But just to start with, maybe just give us a little bit of a background, like where you grew up, where you live now, and family, and what kinds of things you've done for work or what you do for work now.
Well, I am a lifelong Washingtonian. My family's been here since the territory opened. We live in Okanagan County on the east side of the state in a little town called Chisaw. That's part of what we call the Okanagan Highlands. Beautiful place, very lucky to live there. And I am a mother, I'm a grandmother. Between my husband, Mark, who is the president and co-founder of CSG, we have six kids, 31 down to seven. So we have a very full life between kids and what we do for work and all the things that go with that. And of course, I'm the executive director for the Center for Self-Governance. And that's how I met Mark. And I took my first class myself in 2013. And it started an amazing adventure that brought me to today.
That's beautiful. I love that. You know, one of the things that I get from people, and I think maybe more from conservatives than liberals, is around AI is that it's bad. It's going to lead to transhumanism. I think part of that is all the predictive programming and stuff around the sci-fi movies that we've all grown up with, Terminator and iRobot. You could probably name 20 of them that predict that, you know, this AI movement is going to turn on humanity. So it's not a mystery where we're getting the ideas that AI might be really bad. But what would your message be? Because I have really smart friends that are like, I'm not touching that, you know, and I think it comes from this reflex of the predictive programming. And I was probably really kind of in that camp myself. Like, I've been an early adopter of certain technologies like Bitcoin, but AI have been a little bit keeping it at arm's length until I took your course. So I guess I just wanted to ask you about that kind of sentiment, especially I think for people that are more conservative and maybe are not so technologically forward the way a lot of the liberals are. And were you ever in that camp where you were like, I don't really want to go near this, or were you always kind of curious about it?
Well, I was definitely nervous about it for a short time. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of one of those personalities that's willing to jump in with both feet as long as it doesn't kill me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but I did, you know, and we'll talk about Bitcoin. It's kind of the same scenario where I'm like mm-hmm. looking at it, I'm doing my research, I'm kind of seeing where things are going. And, you know, at one point I had a conversation with Mark and just said, this is the thing. This is the direction. I can see it coming. We need to jump on this bandwagon and get ahead of it if we want to be able to compete. But I would agree with you. I think a lot of it has to do. I mean, there's definitely considerations, guardrails that need to happen with AI. But a lot of the concerns that I run into as well with folks, like you said, is a result of this predictive programming. You know, I think there was a 2010, I can't remember the name of this movie, Johnny Depp, and he becomes part of the Borg mm-hmm. and, you know, takes over the world. And even if you watch the one of the older Superman movies, you know, where basically it's got this little AI, you know, and they destroy their own planet. So a lot of that, I think, is, like you said, again, has created this fear-based, you know, outlook on AI. Personally, I think that, you know, you would think that people who are more conservative or Christian would be, you know, they kind of see it as, you know, the Antichrist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I find that interesting because if you believe there is a self, you know, AI will never become sentient. And if you believe there is a self, if there's consciousness, if there's God, AI is never going to get to that level. So why worry about it?
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting conversation. But, you know, it's human nature to fear what you don't know.
Yeah. For sure. Well, what kinds of things have you found AI to be helpful with? I mean, I took your class and I was pretty floored, actually. Once we started getting into it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, for a content creator, I started to see all sorts of possibilities that did not exist, you know, the hour or 2 hours before I clicked on that class with you. So what kinds of things are you seeing that it's super helpful with right now?
Oh my gosh, everything almost.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll just take a recent example, you know, health and wellness. There's so much opportunity in coaching. And of course, trust but verify when it comes to AI. You have to use mm-hmm. some common sense. But, you know, one of the things is it's fantastic at analyzing data. And I'll share a very personal story that happened to me this past week where my dad has had some serious health issues. We had gone to the doctor and had not heard back from anybody. And he's like, "Well, why don't you get on the computer and see what you can find out?" So I go in to his multiple portals where all of his test results are, and I could see that there was some very bad news there. But I was able to take the information from the two scans that he had just recently. All of his, I took, you know, I uploaded those documents. I took screenshots of lab work. I went all the way back to scans that he had done in 2023. And I uploaded that into ChatGPT. And I'm summarizing this quickly, obviously, but it gave me an analysis of what was going on, a really good analysis of what is going on with my dad and where he's at in the situation he's in with his health. And then I was able to have the AI summarize it in a way where it would make sense to my dad. He's 81 years old. He's an old farmer. You know, he doesn't understand the lingo, but I was able to give him a bulleted, you know, bullet point list of this is what's going on. And the doctors still haven't called him, by the way. And we were able to have a really good, intelligent conversation about his health and what we want to do and steps we need to take going forward. Granted, that's a pretty serious situation, but I use it all the time for my health, supplement questions, workout ideas, all the way across the board to learning languages. Like they have tutors, GPTs that are experts. My daughter's learning Japanese. You've got, in terms of your business, you've got workflows and automations that it can create. It can take all of these really kind of stupid, mundane tasks off your plate and create these efficiencies that give you your time back. And, you know, something, I mean, how many hours does a person spend on making presentations? I don't know about you. It's a lot of time to go
It's a
through that whole
lot of
process.
absolutely. Well, and you had shared a story, and I lit up around this. And this might seem like, you know, this is all about saving money, but it's not. In that, I have a estate, a family estate, like a trust that needs to be revisited every 2 or 3 years with a very expensive attorney. And the only reason, like, if I make a small change because it's proprietary, like I can't open up the document. I tried. It's like lawyers know, look, we don't want people just opening up their document, putting in the new names or the new amounts or whatever, making changes in 10 minutes and then resaving it because they're never going to come back and see us. What we're going to do is we're going to create this document that can't be opened. So it can't be notarized. You can't make changes without us at $450 an hour. So, and it's like, it really irritates me because I'm like, it's not worth that much money. Maybe the first time I did it, it was worth it because I'd never done one. But at this point, it would literally take me 10 minutes to update it. I know what I'm doing. And with AI, I heard you tell the story about creating your father's will. I can just upload the documents to the AI and say, I want to make changes to this. I believe, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a student, a CSG student, who is using AI to represent himself in the Ninth Circuit Court. This has been an ongoing thing. His lawyers just dumped him. And he's been able to, I mean, it has not only walked him, it has walked him through the steps on what he needs to do to represent himself and created the documents that he needs in order to make that happen.
That's great. I mean, I don't that AI could help people circumvent proprietary systems like medical and law. That is not breaking my heart at all because I feel
Not a
like they,
thing.
like they have taken advantage of, you know, this kind of, we've created this system that you got to go through our hoops or you don't get any of the insights that this is starting to this. And AI is really part of this decentralized knowledge base, which is super exciting because I think it will cut through a lot of the corruption and the graft that they're pointing to, but it's in everything. It's in the law, it's in medicine. And you know, I wanted to ask you because I think Some listeners, I think, probably think that AI is one thing, right? It's ChatGPT, let's say, and that's the only thing. I don't think they realize how many different models there are. And there's a bunch of big ones, you know, that are vying for, listen, you know, for users and stuff. You have ChatGPT, you have Claude, you have, you know, Gemini, Meta, Grok, and that's just a list. There's probably a bunch of them that are going to hit the shores that are, you know, that we don't even know about yet, right? There could be a whole bunch on the horizon that, you know, that they haven't even put their flag in the sand yet, but they've got something really rocking and they're really excited, and that could be coming as well. So I think competition will be good. But I guess I wanted to ask you, is there some of the AI programs that are better at things? And I think what I really wanted to ask you is there AIs that are more pro-humanity? And I mean that broadly. I know when we took the class, you said Claude typically had higher moral standards, and that kind of perked up my ears because one of the early takes was on ChatGPT, and this is probably version one, right? Is people were saying, look how woke it is. It won't even show you a picture of George Washington because he's a white man, right? It's woke. It's BS. It's just like Google censoring the knowledge that you want, right? And I think they've probably taken steps like it's learning. So it's probably getting out of a really far left woke perspective on things. But I wanted to ask you about that. Is there ones that seem to be more supporting humanity, a more pro-humanity? I'm not saying specifically Christian or conservative, just ones that aren't, you know, Marxist or communist, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that for me, Claude is at the top of the list.
Mm.
You know, they're the ones that are just kind of setting the moral and ethical standard for AI. You know, they will make changes and do things that, you know, and then basically OpenAI and ChatGPT will kind of come along because they have to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they are definitely, I think they are the ones that if you're looking for a pro-humanity, a little bit less woke model, I would go with Claude. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT and some of these others are definitely getting better, but you kind of alluded to it where, you know, our more conservative folks are afraid of it, don't want to use it, but there's an opportunity there for, if you're willing, for those folks to provide some balance. If you're letting the model train on that demographic, it's going to get more of that and less of the woke. And so, you know, keep that in mind that as a user, you have influence over what these models are doing and how they evolve.
So we actually want more conservatives and libertarians and pro-America voices to use ChatGPT to balance it out so that it'll start to kind of correct for one side, let's say. Maybe there was just a lot of radical left voices that started ChatGPT that were the first, you know, early adopters, and now we're in this next phase where, you know, if somebody like you or I started to really use it, and you are using it, that would start to correct some of the far left bias.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, there's always going to be bias, but having more balance is key.
You know, one thing I forgot to ask you is about privacy with it. You know what I mean? Like I loaded up and did not use, like I loaded up DeepSeek, which is China's thing, which I should have known better, but I was really curious. I was like, why is everybody talking about DeepSeek? You know, and I start to load it, and it gives me this, this agreement contract. And as I scan it, it says, at one point, it says, anything you create or produce downstream from this is considered a product of DeepSeek, And I was like, there's no way in hell I am clicking on anything saying whatever I create is your property. There's no way. So, and then I was, then I kind of slapped myself like, stop messing with anything coming out of the CCP. Come on, you know? And so, but, you know, is privacy an issue? Is there some of the AIs that have more encryption, you know? Like, I guess I'm asking, like, if you do a, I don't know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, not that I know any of these, wink, wink, but, you know, if you're trying to, you know, join forces to, you know, expand a community that's not so keen on central banks, let's say, and you're doing a lot of thinking and content producing and collating and stuff, is there a way it could be used against you in a way, you know what I mean? Or, you know, I guess I'm so used to not having privacy from Google and from Apple and stuff. I mean, we've grown up, you know, bare ass naked, basically, and unless you're a cypherpunk where you're like really in encryption and you're doing all that. Is it a concern? Is there some that take your privacy more seriously? I guess I'm just asking a really broad question. As somebody that has not been good with my own privacy digitally, is this just more of that, I guess, is my question.
Well, I think privacy is always a concern in this day and age. And, you know, as you kind of mentioned, you know, especially with younger kids, there's just no thought to putting personal information or, you know, certain things out there on the internet. But with these large language models, typically, if you have a paid subscription, there are protections in place, and you can toggle off the option that allows the LLM to train on your data. Now, if you're using public GPTs, you go in and you're like, hey, I want to use this. That's all going to be public.
Yeah.
If you're using a free version, by default, they are going to train on your data. But I think if you're using things like ChatGPT and Claude that are kind of the gold standard of LLMs right now, I mean, I'm not an expert, but I feel pretty safe with my data.
Mm-hmm.
I have it. The instructors that I had in my AI training were all very comfortable with using these models and not worried about their data. There was concern over the DeepSeek.
Yeah.
Of course, you have other people who are just like, yeah, I put all my personal information, all my stuff into ChatGPT. I'm not worried about it. I wouldn't go that far. I think it's wise, you know, to just not put your personal details, your social security number, driver's license, those kinds of things into a model where there's somebody on the back end who, if they wanted to, could dig up that information if they're training on the data. But again, I'm not an expert, but,
That's sensible.
Be wise, use some common sense.
Yeah. Do you use, when you're using the different, AI platforms and stuff, are you on desktop or are you doing it from a phone? Are most people on their computers using it, or are people just on their phones like a mobile app and using Grok or whatever one they're using?
I think it just depends on the use case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to CSG and our business, I'm spending most of the time on the desktop.
Yeah.
If I am traveling, I have questions, I'm using the audio capabilities for ChatGPT as I drive. I don't use it in terms of the phone really outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when it comes to the GPTs, I use a lot of those. I think most people who are building things, doing things that I know are 90% of the time on their computer using the models.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's more important work than clicking on your phone with its, you know, kind of truncated interface and stuff like that. You want to see what's going on. So that makes all the sense in the world. Well, so, you know, you are the executive director of Center for Self-Governance. I had heard a lot about Center for Self-Governance in my brief foray into politics, local politics. I never thought in a million years I would be involved in local politics, but I am the chairman of Legislative District 32 right here in King County. And people have been talking about your work for quite a while. And so when I met you, I was really excited. And I guess I just wanted to ask you to give us maybe like an overview, you know, kind of a bullet point, what kind of work you're doing and why it's valuable for people and why would they want to come in and click on some courses and learn? What would they get out of it?
Well, Center for Self-Governance teaches structure of government and systematic political leadership. And so we're probably the only one that I know of to date in the nation that teaches every state, 50 state constitutions, and the, you know, all the way down from state and the various branches down to the school government. And, you know, those things are key because, you know, here we are, we're kind of in this political mess and nobody knows how the system works, but yet we're trying to fix it. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, in 2013, when I had taken my first class, I had done the Tea Party thing. I'd done the Ron Paul thing. And, you know, everybody was telling me how I was supposed to do my political engagement and none of it seemed to work. It was just the same result. Yeah. You know, Ron Paul goes away, then everybody goes away. And you see these cycles over and over again. But with systematic politics, it provides, you know, with this training, it provides a way for you to learn the system and give you the tools to troubleshoot and maintain it. Mm. It's kind of like, you know, learning how your car works or how your body works. If you don't understand the system, it's easy to get taken for a ride by the mechanic or the doctor, right? Yeah. And so we provide training that empowers people. We don't tell you who to vote for. We don't tell you what issues to run. We just give you the tools. You want to run for school board? You probably want to learn how it works.
Right.
What is the system? And most people jump into elected positions or volunteer positions or associations with no idea what they're getting into or how it works. Mm-hmm. So providing the training and giving people the tools is incredibly empowering. And that's why I'm still with CSG, because I see the difference between partisan and systematic politics. Mm-hmm. And if you focus on the system, it's life-giving. You're able to compete. You can see what's coming. But it's important, like, it, you know, and it kind of decentralizes things as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things I love about AI is it's decentralizing things. It's a great equalizer.
Absolutely.
Whether it's the medical community or AI, but when it comes to government, we're so stuck with everything in this rule by expert, the Fauci-ism, right?
Yep.
And once you understand, once you have the knowledge, once you have that understanding of your government and how to navigate it and how to fix it, understand too that it's an it, not a them. When people talk about government, they did this to me, you know, so-and-so Bill Biden or Trump. Government is an it. It is a car. We elect someone to drive it. It's not, you know, if it's an it, we can fix it. Mm. So that's why I'm passionate about CSG and what we do, because we have students, we have almost 9,000 students in about 43 different states. And the empowerment that happens both politically, personally, relationally is pretty amazing, because self-governance is not just, you know, in Olympia. Self-governance and politics is in your own home.
That's great. You know, one of the things I'm hearing too is that, and I see it in people, is this reluctance to get involved. Some of it is resignation, a little bit of like what you had said, which, you know, I was on the Ron Paul, I was on the Tea Party. It's all screwed. It's all, you know, there's just a kind of resignation and cynicism with, you know, good Americans that are just like, I've had it. It's just so corrupted. But part of it is, I think, to your point, they sense that they don't have a clear vision of the architecture of it. So they don't know where they can make it. They don't know where they can make a difference. And what I'm hearing you say is that Center for Self-Governance helps you see kind of what the building's built out of so that you can like, okay, I'm going over to the backside of the building because that's really where I see I could apply my knowledge and my passion rather than just like, you know, running for some random office. You're probably not going to win. You don't even know what you're getting into, as you said. But I think a lot of it is we've been kept in the dark. I don't want to get too conspiratorial, but it benefits centralized control if we, the people, don't have a clear sense of what the hell's going on. This is true in medicine. It's true in politics. It's true in money. So I think it's one of the most exciting things right now that I can see is this movement towards decentralization in all the systems. And politics is one of the most exciting ones, probably bringing up the tail. But because of the work you guys are doing, I can see a light in that tunnel as well. And that says a lot because that has been a pretty dark tunnel for most people, right?
Yes, absolutely. No, and that's one of the reasons why I love my job because, you know, it just changes everything. It changes people's marriage. You know, I mean, I can tell so many stories, women who, you know, have entrepreneurs who once they learned how the system works, it's not even about, you know, running for office. They suddenly were like, okay, I know how to navigate this. So I can, you know, I can open a business. I can do this. I mean, we have a student and a former board member who was a nurse at one point, decided to open a Nothing Bundt Cakes in South Carolina. And she had taken her class, as a result of taking her classes, she was able to navigate. There was so much permitting process and she knew how to build the relationships. Like she's one of the top Nothing Bundt Cakes in the country now.
That's awesome.
It's just amazing. We have a CEO, who's on our board, $750 million, dollar company, who brings us in for corporate training for his company. And, you know, because he's empowering his employees to learn the system and build relationships, he's paying them as part of their job to do these things. The FDA went after them and I won't go into the details, but they were able to navigate a very nasty situation with the FDA and they were shut down, but they had the shortest shutdown in U.S. history with the FDA. It was 48 hours as a result of using the training that they received from CSG.
That's awesome. That's great. It sounds like it really, it's not just politics. It's like changing the way that you see things, shining the light on the architecture of the systems that you use, whether you're aware of it or not, and empowering you to create from a place of empowerment instead of this victim mentality we see so much of on both sides of the political spectrum, frankly. You know, I was pleasantly surprised. I did not know that you were a Bitcoiner the first few conversations we had. I don't remember how it came up. I've got my little sign in the background of my studio. So I was like, oh my God, she's a Bitcoiner as well. And you alluded to it earlier when you said the technology, AI technology, is a little bit like Bitcoin. Like you got to do a deep dive to really understand it. I totally agree with you on that. Like you're never going to be an enthusiastic Bitcoiner if you watch 4 hours of videos. You're not going to get there. You got to roll up your sleeves and say, this seems really important. There's a lot of smart people talking about it. I think it's worth my time to learn about it, to see if it's something that I want to include in our lives together, my community, my family. What were the main things that you, when did you get into Bitcoin and kind of what were the big takeaways or what were the big things that you've learned about it over the last, I guess, few years?
Well, I follow a guy. I don't know if you know who Cliff High is.
I do.
Yes. So I have, my ex-husband and I 20 some years ago started, actually it was a friend of his and they kind of did this, kind of blog together. He had this friend in Texas and so we got acquainted with Cliff that way. And then Cliff was the guy who brought Bitcoin to my attention as a result of his online presence. And I eventually, you know, it took me a couple years, but eventually I jumped in probably, oh gosh, a decade ago. I don't know. Like, it's so funny. My husband actually was offered Bitcoin when it was $2.
Oh my God.
When he was teaching in Colorado, and he's a opposite of me, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to jump into something. I'm like, but I always have to, you know, elbow him and be like, man, if you would have just bought those socks and got the Bitcoin, it'd be a different ball game right now for CSG.
Yeah, it sure would.
But you know, Bitcoin has been a wild ride. It has definitely helped get me very comfortable with emerging technologies. Mm-hmm. You know, when I got my first wallet, you know, I got the first Ledger that came out.
Yep.
I was so nervous about, am I going to lose my Bitcoin? You know, it's like, you're taking control of your own life, but it was very nerve-wracking because it was actually more comfortable to leave it on an exchange than think I was going to put it on a wallet. And what if I lose it? And I've got kids. And but you know, and the more I did, the more comfortable I got. And you meet some fascinating, brilliant people in the space. I'm sure you probably feel the same.
Absolutely.
Who are doing not just Bitcoin, but lots of cutting-edge, cool things. Most of the time kind of very libertarian leaning, but who are, you know, I'm the conspiracy theorist of the family. Mark is very grounded. But I like to learn. I like to question. I liked anything that's groundbreaking, and the Bitcoin community definitely provides that fix for me. So it's, you know, in that span of my life, I've gotten a divorce, and having that money in crypto was super helpful. That kind of was a lifeline at certain points. And so, you know, it's been great.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things I always say about the Bitcoin community is they're some of the smartest people that I come across, and they're so optimistic and funny.
Yes.
And I think it's freed them up. You know, they realize, look, I had a guest on, Caribou, who's starting a duck farm up in Canada, and he's going to sell it for Bitcoin. He's got this whole vision, but he's just like, you know, I just feel so grateful to have discovered this technology that allows me to save my hard work in an asset that's going to keep appreciating. He goes, that's never happened. Like, I can save for my children and my grandchildren in a way that is, it's going to keep appreciating. Its purchasing power is going to keep going up over time. And people, a lot of times, they just don't understand it. They don't understand how much inflation has eaten away at our life force and the things that we're able to do. And even the notion of work, you know, just working your tail off, you know, two jobs, I just got to just nose to the grindstone. It's kind of a fiat mindset. It's almost like a slave mindset. And you want to work on things that are inspiring to you. And it seems like the people that I know that are inspired by what they're working on are the Bitcoiners. They're building stuff on top of the decentralized,
yes.
You know, they're so excited. And I get naturally enthusiastic and optimistic when I'm around, because I'm naturally like that. I'm like you. I'm a total, you know, I go down rabbit holes, and some of them I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. And others, this is, you know, this has got some dark truth. I don't know if I want to dig in any more than that. But with the Bitcoin rabbit hole, I just found all kinds of futuristic thinkers. And it's just been, it's been really good for me to be an early adopter, because I'm not necessarily an early adopter of tech. Like, way back in the internet days, I was kind of a laggard a little bit. You know, I was kind of slow to get a computer. I was probably slow to get an iPhone compared to other people. But with Bitcoin, God blessed me with a kind of a whispering in my ear that this was going to be really important. And I took those whispers seriously. So I'm super grateful to be part of that community. But yeah, I just wanted to end on that. And I wanted to give you a chance to tell us anything that you've got going on that you're excited about. Where can people find you and your work? your classes, and is there any other creative project that maybe you want our listeners to know about today?
Well, you can find Center for Self-Governance online on the socials, most of the socials. Website is centerforselfgovernance.com. I'm not really out there. That's typically my husband, Mark Herr. He's pretty much the face of CSG, so you can find him out on LinkedIn and those places. But I would say in terms of creative projects that we have going on, Mark and I are currently writing a book on Elizabeth Powell. She's the woman who asked Ben Franklin, "What have you given us, sir? A monarchy or a republic?" Fascinating woman. We named our daughter after her. We were married in her home, and or he proposed in her home in Philadelphia. So we have a long history with Elizabeth Powell, and one of the foremost political thinkers of the founding of this country. So we're excited about that. CSG is doing all kinds of expanding. We have our Societal School of Self-Governance, where we teach a structure of government and systematic political leadership, but we're also expanding into individual and relational self-governance. The individual self-governance is coming online first, where we're going to talk about that's where AI is going to be housed in the classes that we put together for that. We're going to talk about health. We're going to talk about all kinds of cool stuff that relates to us personally. And so that'll be more my department. I have a background in health and wellness. Used to work as a holistic healthcare practitioner and, co-owned a couple gyms. So that's a passion. You can't keep the country if you're sick and your relationships suck and you're in survival mode. So we want to empower people in that way as well. So that's on the horizon for Center for Self-Governance. And I think that's kind of the highlights right now.
I love that you're into health. I'm so into that. And I love your description of how you use AI to get information in the health area. And I think that's only going to get more and more developed as more naturopaths and alternative practitioners start to get into AI and start to lend their voice. I think it's only going to get better and better over time. I'm really excited for that. Well, and I cannot wait to get into the Center for Self-Governance classes. I've finally cleared my plate. I've been traveling a bit and I'm going to be clicking on those. I'm looking forward to digging in and just super excited. Pamela, thank you so much for coming on Basecamp for Men today and sharing your insight and your wisdom. It's just awesome to talk with you. Each time we've had conversations, I've come away with enthusiasm, optimism, hope for the future. I just love the types of things you're doing and the principles that you're standing for. So thank you so much today.
Thank you, Tony. It's been fun. I've really enjoyed being on.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. If you're looking to do an introduction to AI course for beginners like I did with Pamela, she's offering another one on May 20th. Simply go to www.centerforselfgovernance.com and sign up. It's only $25. I think you'll get a lot out of it. Thank you, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.